Frontier Missions Journal. Stories of hope for the unreached with Adventist Frontier Missions.
The Adventures of Gladys and Hudson. Gladys and Edith. Gladys sighed with contentment. What a nice feeling not to be in pain anymore. Recovering from a broken leg had seemed to last forever. It had hurt a lot, and her parents had had to make her walk when she didn't even want to walk. But now she had had her last leg surgery and everything was better. She could run, jump, and climb. And today, she had climbed up into her favorite hiding place, a storage cubby above their bathroom, with her best friend, Edith. "I'm still not sleeping well," Edith said in her sophisticated-sounding accent. Edith was from a country in Europe, and her family was in the Maghreb to reach the people for Jesus, too. "Still scared?" Gladys asked. "Yeah, the earthquake was so scary, and a lot of our friends died. You're so lucky our house and your neighbors are okay." "Yeah," Gladys said. She had been on furlough when the earthquake struck, but she could only imagine how scary it had been and how awful it would be to lose your home. Gladys knew a little bit about trauma from her mom, who was really into all that brains and emotion stuff. Mom always said trauma takes time to heal, just like broken legs. Edith and her family had escaped from their home in the night, only to find that many of their neighbors' homes were flattened. Their house was badly damaged too, and they couldn't even live there anymore. That's why, even though they were in a new house, it was still hard to sleep. "I'm praying for you," Gladys said. "Thanks," Edith said. "I hope we can do a build together sometime." "Me too," Gladys said. Edith and Gladys's families were doing their best to help build sturdy temporary winter shelters for people living in the remote villages where the earthquake damage was the most severe. This was one of the ways they could show the love of Jesus to people, by meeting their needs. Many of them were traumatized too, but couldn't let Jesus carry their burdens because they didn't know him. "We're doing a build this next week, Edith, but your mom said that it's not one that you're helping with." "Rats," Edith said. "Well, you have to tell me about it. Now let's make something out of clay, shall we?" "We shall," Gladys said, laughing, and the girls forgot about earthquakes and shelters for a while in the joy of their play. Gladys glanced out of the windows of their car, and then again at that of her teacher, Miss Lauren, and her mom. They were both gripping various parts of the car and occasionally yelping in fear.
"I wish I were driving,"
Miss Lauren said, or more like screamed.
"I don't," said Mom, who didn't like driving in the mountains. "Just be careful, Christian."
"It's fine, you guys. We're golden." "There's plenty of room," I said. "And there's also plenty of time to think about dying before we hit the bottom if you drive off the road," said Mom, looking down at the severe drop-off to their right, which looked extra scary without a guardrail.
"Thank God you're a good driver."
After 3 hours of driving around dry, gray, rocky curves, we finally came to a village. It was so much a part of the landscape that it was almost hard to see.
Their homes were the same color as the mountains since they were made of mud, stone, and cement. Gladys hadn't been too scared of the drive, but she was glad to get out of the car. The Sharma family and Miss Lauren soon joined the foreign team building the temporary shelters for those whose homes were damaged or leveled in the earthquake. The grown-ups found a way they could help right away. Mom organized a group of local boys to help. Dad and Miss Lauren helped a couple of Maghribi team members to lift large materials. Gladys and Hudson passed tools and smaller materials to people who needed them. Just when the sun was beginning to set, a girl came over to Gladys. She shyly introduced herself and asked if Gladys wanted to drink some soup.
"Sure," Gladys said. "Let me ask my mom."
Soon Gladys, her mother, and Miss Lauren were all seated in the dimly lit, smoke-blackened kitchen of a Maghribi home, surrounded by the ladies of every age who watched them eat with curiosity and an obvious hope that they'd like the food. One 3-year-old girl had what her mom told her was a cleft palate. She looked with beautiful, intelligent eyes, but couldn't talk yet because of the birth defect.
"Have some hot bread,"
a woman said, handing a huge flat loaf to the group, who sat on the floor around a low circular table. Gladys loved eating the warm, fresh bread with homemade butter. Gladys looked around at the simple kitchen and wished she could live there. It was like being in Laura Ingalls Wilder's house, but with Arabic instead of English spoken. One of the women noticed Gladys looking around. "This house is safe," she said. "It wasn't damaged by the earthquake." Pretty soon, Gladys's new friend asked if she could spend the night.
"Mom," Gladys said, "they want us to stay the night. Can we, please?"
"Yes," Mom said, laughing. "They've invited and I've said yes. Dad and Hudson will sleep in another home with the guys. This will be an experience." That evening, the women played local music. Then they asked Mom to sing something. She sang "Above All," translating it after so the women would understand.
"Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Ukuli kowatin wariasatin fokakuli ismi وسيادتين أنت قائم جالس في سماوات تخضع لك كل أشياء فوق كل قوة ورياسة فوق كل اسم
وسيادتين أنت قائم جالس في سموات تخضع لك كل أشياء مستحق أن تأخذ المجد القدرة والكرامة قد ذبحت واشتريتنا.
Gladys wondered if this would be a way her mom would share the gospel, but the women just looked blankly when the translation was over. After a while, they ate dinner, a heaping plate of rice with butter on it. One of the women explained that they mostly ate bread and rice, foods which could be kept for a long time, along with dairy and meat products. A few people had small gardens where they grew a few things using water that came out of the mountain. Soon the women piled blankets on the cement floor. Gladys, Miss Lauren, Mom, one of the women, and the little girl all lay down on the soft blanket and pulled another soft blanket on top of them. The government brought these to us after the earthquake, the woman said. Soon Gladys was waking up. It was morning, and it proved to be a busy one. Mom went around translating and bringing water to the people building shelters. Dad led a build team, and Miss Lauren helped. Hudson played with the local boys, making knives and other manly things. Apparently, while they had been singing and playing, the boys had been having strength competitions, showing off their pull-ups and push-up skills. They stayed all day, and Gladys enjoyed being pulled here and there by her new friends, seeing them milk cows, run down hills in their flip-flops, and play in the dry riverbed. The whole village was happy they had come to help, so there was plenty to eat. At one point, Mom visited a family who handed her a plastic bag full of walnuts. When she and Gladys visited another home, a bent-over old man grabbed the bag from her. Then he laughed, went to a large sack that sat against a wall, and filled the bag the rest of the way full of even more walnuts. Mom! I want to live in a village like this, Gladys said. I know, Gladys, her mom said, and maybe you will someday. The simplicity here is very attractive, and it is a beautiful thing to live a simple life. But you should know something. These people have needs that you don't see because you are young. Many have goiters because there is no iodine-enriched salt. There is no doctor here, and the school only goes to sixth grade. They have no way to deal with trash, which is why you see it strewn all about. The trash causes diseases too. And the little girl with the cleft palate? Her family will never make enough money for the surgery she needs. It's hard to live out here. So why do they stay? Gladys asked. One of them told me why. She said it's because it's all they know. I want to be a nurse, or maybe a doctor. Or a teacher when I grow up, Gladys said. Mom replied, well, maybe you could come somewhere just like this, and maybe you could help in some way, and you could enjoy this peaceful, simple way of life that felt like another time. I might, said Gladys. I just might.
Today's song, Above All, was performed by Gladys's mom, missionary Alexa Sharma. Thank you for listening to Frontier Missions Journal. God bless.